Welcome back to Cinema Vino. We are here. Sean Jordan.
Buenas noches.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Travis Redacted Bud. Though this week we're drinking Portlandia Pinot Grigio. Delicious white. Haven't had a Pinot Grigio in a long time. My wife and I went to Oregon a few years ago and toured a few wineries, and Pinot Grigio was abundant there.
Why is Pinot Grigio so abundant there?
I think it's the climate. I think Pinot Noir and Pinot Grigio grow really well there. They're starting to get into Chardonnay and bubbly, which Chardonnay is one of the components of Champagne. And it's kind of on a parallel with Southern France, kind of falls on that same line. And so you will see a lot of kind of medium-bodied reds in France along that same parallel or whatever. Is it longitude or latitude?
Longitude.
Okay, on that same.
If I'm wrong, don't correct me.
Don't at me.
I think it's
don't at me.
I think it's latitude. It might be latitude. But either way,
let us know in the comments.
Either way, there's no danger of us replacing Lewis and Clark anywhere.
If we're wrong, we're going to get laughed at.
Yeah, this is good. I could easily drink this back porch and rocking chair just with like an oversized straw directly from the bottle. It's good. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't do a swirly straw like a swizzy straw?
No, I don't want to suck that hard.
Yeah.
What would be the most hipster thing to drink it out of?
Man, probably a mason jar.
Straws or something? Isn't there like a sweet tart straws?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like a, what's it called? Sour punch.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I would do that.
That would be delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, going back to Pinot Grigio, because we're doing movies. We're going back around to movies we haven't seen in a while.
Reaching back around.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, we're going around and then grabbing movies that we haven't seen in a while.
We're revisiting underrated things that we think deserve second attention.
Yes.
Right.
And so this week we're taking a look at some episodes of Batman the Animated Series, which Travis suggested.
Woot.
And so it's three episodes, and I'll let Trav describe those episodes for us.
So it's a two-parter, Heart of Steel, parts one and two, where basically you see kind of a robot briefcase break into a place, steal some like floppy disks or whatever was cool back in the 92, and Batman was in pursuit. They rocketed off. He tried to hang glide after them, was shot out of the sky, and whatever, this blonde rode off into a robot car with whatever disks there were. It gets a little weird and hinky, but it looks as though that some computer program is replacing people with duplicates, and Commissioner Gordon gets replaced, and we meet Barbara Gordon, I think for the first time in the Batman Animated Series. I believe this is her debut. And Batman follows the clues, and with Barbara Gordon goes to save all of the people that were abducted and turned into duplicates. He manages to destroy the computer program that was trying to duplicate all these people, called HARDAC, which is an acronym for something that I didn't write down. And that's all she wrote. All the robots and things blow up in a nice big animated explosion. And then there is a sequel, a third episode that also deals with HARDAC, which is called His Silicon Soul. So Batman, I think, just wakes up somewhere. He falls out of like a warehouse.
There was a heist that they broke in, and they were like, oh man, there's some cool technology that we could probably sell.
That's right.
Let's open up this box, and then boom, Batman rips out of it.
Yeah.
Batman rips out of it. He foils them, but gets shot in the stomach and realizes he's got circuitry, and he's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Goes back to Wayne Manor, sees Alfred, and is like, Alfred, help me. And then Alfred's like, good Lord, this is some fucked up shit. Realizes he's not the real Batman, flees, finds something in his memories that tell him to go back to the warehouse and download HARDAC, and it tells him to go back to the Batcave. And Batman is in hot pursuit and tries to keep the fake duplicate Batman from uploading Hardak through the Batcave computer to all the computers in Gotham and all over the world.
Because, of course, Batman's computer is connected to everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This was like well before the internet was like super mainstream.
100%.
Yes.
But in doing so and fighting the Dark Knight, the duplicant thinks that he has killed Batman. And in doing so, he's messed up his programming and he's so deeply ingrained with Batman's psyche that he basically destroys the countdown and sacrifices himself to destroy the Bat computer once he realizes what he's done. And so Batman is talking to Alfred and he's like, "Man, did he have a soul? Perhaps a silicon soul, but a soul." Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Credits.
Yeah. And quite good, as I remember.
So what did you guys think?
For me, I always enjoyed the animated series. I wasn't like a big, avid watcher of it, but I would definitely tune in every now and then. And I would ask a question. I know what your answer is going to be, but I want you to say it on the air. Would you say that this animated series is better than either the Joel Schumacher Batmans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
How would you compare it to Tim Burton's Batmans?
So, obviously, it was put in production shortly after the first one with Jack Nicholson. And so it has a lot of that vibe, but it's the whole series is somewhat based in the 1930s, 1940s, but it also has technology of, you know, there's even the newspapers, I think, say 1992 or something like that. So it's kind of nebulous on when it takes place.
Yeah.
But
not dissimilar to Dark City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
Who knows what time period it is because everything's just sort of jumbled.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it also has a really, we talked about it, I think, last time, a diesel punk feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's all those Zeppelins in the beginning of the opening credits and stuff. How does it compare to Burton ones? I mean, maybe on par. Every episode is not, the greatest, but it does have really good music.
It does.
Scored very well.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on his movies or his music for the Tim Burton.
Yeah.
These episodes to me had a little bit of a Doctor Who vibe, I would say, almost. It's like the idea of duplicates and, technology out of control or whatever. It almost seems like an episode of, like, where you could see Doctor Who getting involved with this, a planet somewhere where the thing is making duplicates of everybody because people are humanoids are outmoded or whatever and trying to replace them and getting out of control and out of hand. And somewhere in there, there's a morality built in and they have to shut down. It gave a Doctor Who vibe to me a little bit, sci-fi.
Plot-wise, it's not too dissimilar from Ultron. Age of Ultron, basically. Yeah. Oh, humanity's, it's imperfect. It needs to be, in purged. Order to purged. It needs to be purged.
Mm-hmm.
That always seems to be a recurring theme with any time like AI gets explored is like, oh, if AI only, came to the logical conclusion that humanity needs to be destroyed, except for the one person who has the moral fortitude to step in and be like, no, they're still good in people.
Mm-hmm.
I will stop you.
That's also Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. With the reimagining with actual humanoid people.
Fracking Cylons. Except the fracking ship.
Mm-hmm. And so the Cylons build humans to help destroy humans, basically. And some of them are not aware, as Batman, the duplicate, wasn't aware.
And he had, sleeper programming that was like, you gotta follow this main objective.
Yeah.
But in the end, Batman's humanity was what overrode that and was able to destroy Hardak.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I picked this is because I had watched it again recently, and I had been watching because they're all on HBO Max, and I had been looking at the episodes that had characters that weren't from the comics, but I thought were cool in the series, and Hardak was one of them, and he also fought like a ninja guy in there that was also in two different episodes named Kyodai Ken, who I think they've tried to put in the comics at some point, but it was just kind of, I don't know, like more of an Easter egg than anything else.
He's kind of like the Batroc the Leaper of Batman.
A little bit, but they said but
Batroc the Leaker.
And that's who he would be after he's been shot.
I was going to say after he got old enough and incontinent.
But he had an interesting episode where he had fought Bruce Wayne. They had the same sensei back in the day. And he was like, you know, evil ninja guy then that Bruce had to beat up, and then had to pretend not to know all the crazy kung fu that he knew, because he knew that if the ninja guy had fought Batman and Bruce Wayne, that he would basically, they're like fingerprints, his fighting styles. So he had to like switch the way he was fighting when he was both those characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Hardak. what these three episodes really did was they took a lot from Blade Runner, because in Blade Runner,
replicants, duplicants.
And then was it William Sanderson plays J.F. Sebastian, the guy that created all the replicants and the, in Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. And in this, he voices the guy that creates Hardak. So they had some of those callbacks. And then also, obviously, in 92, Terminator 2 had come out, and battle-damaged Arnold Schwarzenegger was all the rage. So, of course, when Hardak Batman and his silicone soul starts getting messed up and has the super cool
half-face,
half-robot, almost two-face type deal, but he's got half of it all. He just looks like a cool-looking cyborg, even though he's just, you know, he's, what do they say in Terminator 2? Is I'm metal endoskeleton with...
liquid metal over metal endoskeleton, something like that.
Well, he's living flesh over metal endoskeleton or something. It's basically the same.
I never really understood the plot of Terminator and how somehow the technology of, like, skin was able to help him travel through time, as if, like, giant robot piece of him was not also traveling through time. I don't know.
They go through buck naked.
Yeah, like, what happens if he opens his mouth? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like...
Explain this to me, Terminator.
It's like putting it in a Ziploc bag. Like, that'll keep it fresh.
Yeah.
So, their flesh is their Ziploc sealer.
It's like waterproof.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Ziploc, sponsor us.
What the hell was I going to say? Well, we can get off on a whole tangent on that about time travel and how the hell you send somebody back and... How do you know you're not going to put them in the middle of a building or like a wall or a tree when they pop up somewhere?
Oh, well, in Terminator, it destroys everything around him, remember? Because he's like near
there's lightning
wall and it just like kind of shears it out. Yeah, but he looks
badass.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember the Dark Fate Terminator, if you guys saw Terminator Dark Fate.
Nope.
Which I enjoyed.
I think I watched all of them, but I don't remember.
I enjoyed the most recent one.
I don't think I saw it.
Directed by Tim Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And produced by James Cameron, who also wrote the story. Mm-hmm. So he came back to the franchise. But anyway, that they depict the Terminator coming back at one point, like in midair, and then falling to the ground because I guess they, you know,
miscalculated.
Yeah. So it's an interesting twist. A little more realism to a cyborg traveling back in time.
Yeah. There was Terminator Salvation with Sam Worthington.
And Christian Bale.
Christian Bale was in that one. And then there was Genesis with Daenerys Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dark Fate?
Yeah. It was decent. I mean, especially decent if you go back and watch those two again, Salvation and Genesis. Which
one is Matt Smith?
Is he in
Genesis? I think he's in Genesis.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
I think so. But it was rough. It was. You know it's bad when even the stars are on the publicity saying they hate it.
What?
Yeah. I think it was Emilia Clarke was like... Ugh.
And she should know what it's like to be in something that turned out really bad.
And I think she was saying, because it's like I watched Chaos Walking this week with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. And it's kind of that same vibe where the people look miserable making it. It's a terrible movie. The people look like they hate life making it. Like it just looked like the most unpleasant movie to make. And that's kind of how this Terminator Genesis movie was. They just look like they just want out of it badly. Just terrible. But anyway.
To Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yes, back to Batman. So yeah, I always liked the animated series. That's where Harley Quinn came from, is from that series.
Exactly.
Well, and I think that the animated series as it ranks compared to the movies is kind of like how I talk about The Mandalorian or The Clone Wars with Star Wars, is like you can do so much more in how many seasons are there? Like four seasons of like 40 episodes per season or something? There's a shitload of episodes.
Yeah.
Like, there is a shitload of episodes. You can do a lot more character development of Batman himself. Mm-hmm. You can hit on a lot more topics. I mean...
Play with the Rose Gallery more and develop that.
Yeah. Like, you can have a 2-episode arc about some random machine And then next week you're fighting against a puppet with a Tommy gun. You know? Like, you can do a lot more over a longer period of time with the series. And so I, for that reason, I think that as the Batmans compare up against each other with the movies, this, the cartoon, the animated series is one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he's up there with Nolan's Batman in my mind.
Yeah.
Well, and everybody, every time you watch like a Batman, you're like, all right, I definitely want to see him fight the Joker. Like, well, okay, I love that too. It gets a little stale after a while if he's fighting the same dude every time. You know, they've got, they did Mr. Freeze in this totally in the first three or four episodes.
I love the animated series, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a really good one. The first, and I think it was a two-parter as well. And they did the origin of Two-Face really well in the show. But I just wanted to showcase one, you know, an episode that was, you know, it, all three episodes, about an hour, 66 minutes, whatever. Close to feature. But just featuring other villains that aren't the same five or six that you see Batman fight all the time. And I thought Hardak was an interesting one.
No, I agree. And that's something that would be kind of fun if you're a writer on this series. You could just introduce some willy-nilly villain in there just for the hell of it.
Well, yeah, and you can pull from, you know, all these other different AI storylines that have happened in the past, mm-hmm. and you can kind of do your own twist on it.
Yeah.
And I can really see, like, directly, because we did Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow a few episodes back, I can see a lot of parallels in the Dieselpunk inspiration between this and the Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, and that's what two that I was watching like basically back to back.
Oh, I know.
At the same time.
Because you brought them up in like the same conversation, like the same breath. You were like, oh, by the way, it was the Batman the Animated Series, you know? Because the first scene where you see the briefcase with like the arms come out, I was like, oh yeah, this is just Sky Captain the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Inspector Gadget, I thought.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And a little bit of gadgetry and whatnot.
Does Inspector Gadget ever turn himself into a briefcase?
Not that I remember, but I mean, I don't see why not. You know,
more like Inspector Baggett,
Samsonite.
Well, and also, you rarely have female Batman villains. And even though she turns out to be a duplicate in this, was it Sandra the blonde? I can't remember. I didn't look up all their character names. Mm-hmm. But Batman only has a few. Obviously, he's got Harley Quinn, who originated on the show. You got Poison Ivy. Catwoman, I think Talia. They have Talia al Ghul. Those are the main ones.
See, fight Chitara.
Chitara?
I don't know.
Or Cheetah.
Whatever. What? It's the girl
Wonder
Cheetah.
It's just Cheetah.
I'm trying to remember.
What a terrible villain.
God bless.
What are your powers? I'm a cheetah.
Ooh, what a terrible movie.
Oh, 1984?
Yeah.
That yeah. was, I had a lot of thoughts on that movie, yeah.
Yeah. It was not good.
But hey, it came out.
Mm-hmm. It was a thing that happened.
It was a film that I watched. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a good way to cap off 2020.
It was a 2-hour distraction from COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was the timing with when Batman the Animated Series ended and Batman Beyond came out? They were pretty close, right?
They were. I don't think they happened at the same time, but honestly, Batman Beyond is a really good one, too. And like the first two, I think it's two episodes. That is a really good one, but obviously the Return of the Joker, which has an unrated version, you know. No titties or anything like that. But
like pretty gratuitous violence.
Yeah, some violence. And actually, well, never mind. I won't spoil it on this. But some really good and some really kind of dark stuff. In the Return of the Joker. Batman Beyond, it's definitely worth it if you check it out. And it's also on HBO Max.
Ooh, interesting. One thing I want to touch on is the Barbara Gordon character. That was another thing they screwed up in the Schumacher movies. And so I don't know if you can shed some light on that. So yeah. Barbara Gordon was, in the proper version, Commissioner Gordon's daughter. And they warped her in the Schumacher movies to be Alfred's
niece?
Yeah.
Even though Alfred was like 85 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the Aunt May, Peter Parker thing where Aunt May is like Annie M and has like a 15-year-old.
But that is the way it is in the comics.
Yeah.
Is that Aunt May is very old in the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't quite fit. It
doesn't gel.
It's like Uncle Ben is older than the rice.
Well, Uncle Ben's dead.
So. Yeah. It's R.I.P. And a side note, does Spider-Man have the definitively dead characters in the Marvel world?
No, because there's multiple universes.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's some universes that Uncle Ben is Spider-Man.
Oh. Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They've really just kind of leaned heavily into Robert Downey Jr. being his Uncle Ben in this. Mm-hmm. And then he also died.
Yeah.
So if Spider-Man loves you, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yep.
Supposedly Doctor Strange is going to be the next, like...
In the comics, yeah.
Next uncle?
And in the movies, they say he's going to be like the next.
Oh, no. They keep saying that. They keep saying, hey, this Marvel character is going to die. Mm-hmm. It's in the comics. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different thing. I mean, he could die in the, you know, next movie.
I thought you were going to say Doctor Strange was going to be his next uncle.
They say he's going to be his next mentor figure. Like, instead of Nick Fury, it's going to be Doctor Strange.
Weird.
That he'll be like
his
next, like,
cosmic Spider-Man? I would fucking love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, especially after the Mysterio in the last movie, kind of like the mind-warping shit that he went through, it kind of makes a little bit of sense. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in J. Jonah Jameson from another universe.
Well,
to be fair, he could be just the Nexus being.
J.K. Simmons is J. Jonah Jameson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was born to play that character.
He's the perfect character that I didn't even know I gave a shit about until they cast him. I was like, oh, my God, he's great.
Yep.
I mean, can you think of J.K. Simmons as... Commissioner Gordon?
No.
Or Gordon?
Either way, and that tells you it's like...
He played it in Justice League, but did he have anything to do? No. I mean, I...
Did anybody have anything to do in Justice League?
He stands on top of the building and looks at the sky really well.
Yeah, and they...
Has a trench coat.
They hide, and then he's like, oh, what? You disappeared off the roof.
You all do that.
Yeah.
And then Flash says something stupid, and we go on the next one. Mm-hmm. So...
Burn it with fire.
No, I agree. It's like going back to this animated series. It's like it shows you how good things could be with DC. You know how good Batman could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean in an era before the Marvel Cinematic Universe was a thing. Mm-hmm. It was before. I mean, really, Batman ruled the comic book media. Mm-hmm. I mean, Superman. You know, Christopher Reeves had his accident, and so they kind of revisited Superman a little bit, but then. Let it go, and then Batman just sort of ruled everything from like the 80s all the way through the 90s until Spider-Man, essentially.
Yeah, it was the number one comic book cartoon adaptation. I mean, there was also X-Men, which was more of an ensemble cast.
Awesome.
And then the Spider-Man from 1994, which was pretty good as well. I have
the one where he's just pointing at himself?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's 67. I think. Where is that? Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends? But it's not from the 94 Spider-Man. But those were the three big comic book cartoons.
Oh, I thought you said 74 Spider-Man.
74? No,
which that was the one I thought he was pointing at himself. But the 94 Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
That one is a great series, yeah.
Jack Nicholson now or Jack Nicholson 1974?
Yeah. And that was a weird one where obviously they couldn't. So Batman could have guns. In like the thugs or, you know, crooks could have guns, shoot at him, and Tommy guns.
There were a lot of Tommy guns.
Yeah. And then in the Spider-Man cartoon, you couldn't show a gun on TV. So all of them had crazy little weird laser pistols. And Morbius, the living vampire, couldn't bite people and drain blood. So he had to have like little weird leech hands, little suckers on his hands. And he would touch people and he would drain plasma and they would have like
sexy
little leech suckers on their body instead of him biting people.
No,
it's weird.
It just sounds like a bad hand job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was my nickname in high school.
Bad hand job. Come here. Let me drain your plasma.
So this has been another episode of Cinema Vino and we thank you. Do we have any closing thoughts before we go?
Hard act for life.
Yeah, revisit Batman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm. Kyodai Ken.
HBO Max. Quite a few episodes on there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of them.
Mm-hmm. So
some might say that's a lot.
Some might say.
Yeah. Sean Jordan, Travis Budd. I'm Todd Wofford.
Woot.
And we will see you all next time.
You can listen, rate, subscribe to Cinema Vino, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at toddwoffordmovies.com.